We turn to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 18. Chapter 13, verse 18, where we just read these words. Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Last Sunday morning we were thinking about the plain of Jordan and the choice that Lot made, which was wholly that which was according to the flesh, had such tragic results. As we look at this particular plain of Mamre, which means firmness and vigor, life, also the place of the oaks, we find to our amazement really that all the references to this plain are gathered in the story of Abraham. The locality is well known, of course, but the particular words of the plain of Mamre are only used concerning this man. Hebron was the place to the south of Jerusalem. It was situated in high ground, and it was situated in the place where the river valleys run down to the Mediterranean Sea, and in between the fingers of the mountains, as it were, are the plains that are spoken about here. Although it's spoken about as being a plain, it is not low-lying. Nothing like the plain of Jordan, which Lot had chosen, which was watered by the River Jordan. But this is on the higher ground and very fertile, and yet he had hidden in the mountain ranges. In fact, it may well be looked upon as something better than Lot had chosen. In any case, we can see that spiritually it designates for us that Abraham was now living on a higher plane. And spiritually this is certainly very true. Lot went downhill and he went into the area of sin, whilst Abraham lives in the heights, as it were, with God. First thing I want to say about this plain of Mamre is that for Abraham it was the place of God's choice. The place of God's choice. Lot chose according to his eyes. You remember that he looked upon the plain of Jordan in his chapter 13, saw it was well watered everywhere, there was beautiful pasture land for his flocks, there was the river for drink, and everything was fine. He had no respect for his uncle Abraham, he'd taken the best. And we finished last week by seeing how that Abraham trusted in God to vindicate his stand. He's letting this other man take the choice. And we find this vindication after the separation that Abraham made between himself and Lot. Verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And so we find that the separation takes place. Then verse 14, God appears to Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. First time that we read that God has told Abraham to look like this. In chapter 12, we have Abraham coming into the land, and then after building his altar at Bethel, going on into Egypt, as we saw. Being restored by God, he comes back to Bethel, to the place where he first made this altar, and now he comes to the place where God is about to reveal to him things that he couldn't reveal while he was in the company of Lot. Lot was a drag on the spiritual life and vision of Abraham. But now the separation. Separation which is so often necessary, which is spiritually vital. If we are to know God, if we are to go on with God, if we are to experience God best, we must know that we are separated unto God and separated unto God's purposes. And so he comes on this high ground and he looks away to the north. God says, look to the north. And of course Palestine is not a very big country. And away in the distance he would be able to see the snow-capped peak of Mount Hermon right up towards the Syrian border. And as he looked to the west, he would be able to see the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And as he looked over to the east, he would see beyond the valley of the Jordan and see there the land which later became the land of Moab, and then the desert, which was the barrier on that side. Looking south, he looked down towards Egypt, and he would look down to the Gulf of Aqaba and the Negev Desert, which is now being cultivated by the people of Israel, of course. God says, now this is the provision I've made. You've allowed Lot to take the choice, but look what you have. You've got everything from north to south to east to west. The provision was bounteous, wonderful. And my friends, this is the promised land that God was speaking about when he revealed to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees that he was to go to a land that he should afterward receive. This was the place of God's choice. And the place of God's choice is always the best. Although it may not seem at first sight that the choice is such a wonderful thing. Lot seemed to have got the best. But now God vindicates Abraham, who had, as it were, cast all his fortune over to God. Said to God, you look after me. And God never fails to vindicate those who trust him like that. Now we notice that Abraham moves. He comes to the place of God's choice. He's living at the place caught between Bethel and Ai, where he had built his altar. Now he comes to the place called Hebron. Bethel was the place, you'll remember, of the first altar, where he set up the first testimony to God in this strange land, from which he backslid when he went down into Egypt, but to which he returned and renewed his testimony, came back, as it were, refreshed and restored into fellowship with God. So he comes to Bethel, the place of the first altar. And we remarked last week, I think in passing, that sometimes it's the thing that we have to do. God brings us back to the place where we first knew the Lord, where we first experienced his love and his grace and his salvation, which over the years has dimmed, which over the years may be has been tarnished by contact with things of the world, associations of the world, which have been a spiritual drag upon us. And now, having seen that we cannot walk with the world and walk with the Lord at the same time, there's been a step of faith that has meant separation. So we come back to the altar of Bethel. But I want us to also to see that there is a going on experience here. Abraham moves from that first place of Bethel, he comes to Hebron in the purposes of God, to the place of God's choice. In other words, God leads him on into a further experience. A deeper knowledge of himself, a stronger faith, a deeper relationship. We need to ask ourselves, how far have we made progress? We come simply, yes, we come simply to the cross. We remember this in our communion. But the simplicity of our first acceptance of Christ must develop into a maturity of walking with God. There must be a higher experience, a deeper experience, a more vital experience than our initial trust which brought us into eternal life. How much have we known of this? The place of God's choice for Abraham was no longer down there at Bethel. The place of God's choice was to come to Hebron and dwell in the plains of Mamre. And in Mamre, there we find Abraham spending much of his life In fact, as I said just now, referred to constantly only in connection with him. And there we find that Abraham has two things as his main possession. He has a tent. He has an altar. In fact, he has three because he digs a well. And these three things characterize Abraham as a man of God. And they symbolize the Christian in his pilgrimage. He'd come out from Ur of the Chaldees where there were wonderful buildings, wonderful architecture that the archaeologists have discovered. And he came into a land where he lived in a tent. And the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11 explains this and shows that Abraham's revision of his thinking is such that now he is no longer established in an earthly security, but he's a pilgrim, a traveller in a spiritual sense. And then there's the altar, the testimony of God which always goes with him, that this is the God he serves. And the well, so vital for the flocks and so vital spiritually for the nourishment of his soul. Abraham dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the place of God's choice. Any of us as Christians this morning who are not in the place of God's choice? How solemn it is. Because it means, if it doesn't seem to be just sinful association, it does mean this, that we're in the place of our own choice. And that our will is being pitted against his will. My friends, if we want to know the fullest blessing in our spiritual lives, we must always leave the choice to God. Secondly, I notice that the plain of Mamre is the place of intimate communion. We get this from the name Hebron, which means fellowship. When you're in the place of God's choice, you are in the place of communion. It leads to fellowship with God. You can't have fellowship with God if you're quarreling with him. You can't have fellowship with God if you're disobeying him. You can't have fellowship with God if his will is not paramount. And you'll notice that here Abraham experiences God. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. In other words, the Lord shared with him his plan. When you come to the place of God's choice and are walking in fellowship with him, then God is able to share with you his thoughts and his mind and his will and his plans. Here we find it regarding Abraham himself. You'll find in chapter 18 that we only read part of it. We find the reaffirmation of the promise that God made to him. And then we find the reaffirmation of the fact of the heir that was to come, Isaac, who was to be born. And God, as it were, underlines all this. And these wonderful words that we need to take to heart constantly. Is anything too hard for the Lord? These come as we think about the way God is revealing his plan. God is revealing to Abraham in his fellowship what he is going to do. It seems incredible, it seems impossible. It seems as if God is just talking, as it were, about something that just wouldn't happen until there's a challenge. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And when you're in the place of fellowship, this is always answered by no. Living in the place of God's choice brings us into intimate communion with God and fellowship regarding our lives, but also regarding others. Regarding others, you may have thought that was a strange reading that we took, and how strange it was about Sodom. But we notice that the Lord said, verse 17 of chapter 18, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" There was this fellowship between God and Abraham to such an extent that God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I do?" Abraham later on had the designation that he was a friend of God. One of the great things about friendship is this giving and taking of confidences, this sharing of plans and outlook, this coming together in the reality of fellowship. And just as friends will talk about what they're going to do, so Abraham talks to God, and God talks to Abraham about the things he's going to do. And so as Abraham's fellowship with God deepens, because he's got a place of God's choice, as his fellowship deepens, so he comes to understand that God is about to bring a judgment upon Sodom. It's almost as if Abraham is privileged to eavesdrop upon God. It's the language, it's the way in which the Bible so often puts it. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And then, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Eavesdropping, as it were, on the purposes of God. It happened with Isaiah, you remember, when Isaiah went into the temple, came into the temple and saw the vision of God in the year that King Uzziah died. And there in the vision of the temple, you read these words about Isaiah: "I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" As it were, overhearing the wish and the plan of God, and able to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." Happens with John in the book of the Revelation, where in the Spirit on the Lord's day, as it were, he sees the vision of the Lord and overhears the message that God has to give. Intimate communion. This is very vital. This is what comes as you develop in the spiritual life. The Christian life should be an increasingly deepening fellowship with God. And it'll only come when you're in the place of God's choice. I wonder how much we understand of the purposes of God through his word in these days. Abraham could foresee the judgment on Sodom. There was no evidence of it. The days were just as bright. Stars were shining just as wonderfully in the darkness of the desert night. But Abraham understood the purposes of God. Saw that God could no longer go on with these people who constantly were sinning against him. And as you go on in maturity in the Christian life, you'll come into fellowship with God, yes. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you understanding concerning his word. And you'll begin to understand something of the dealings of God in the world when you're getting alongside his point of view. And see the judgment that is coming certainly. And understand something of the prophetic nature of the word of God. Abraham dwelt in the plain of Mamre. We must be in the place of God's choice. We must be experiencing a deepening fellowship with him. But finally, I look at this plain of Mamre and find it to be the place of fruitfulness. Place of fruitfulness. I said at the beginning that the very word of Mamre means vigor, or fatness, or fruitfulness. Which brings to us a picture of progress and usefulness and energy and of prosperity. And these are seen in Abraham's life, that he went on living in this plain of Mamre. You'll notice the sequence in which we're looking at this morning. Sequence which I think is very vital and very real. The place of God's choice is a vital thing. And when you're there, you experience fellowship. That's the next step, because you're in tune with God. And when you're in fellowship with God and see his plans, the life becomes fruitful, because God can work out those plans through that life. And so Abraham immediately sees regarding Sodom. But did you notice the reaction of Abraham? God says, shall I hide that thing that I do? And Abraham understands that there is coming upon Sodom an awful judgment. And he knows it's justified. But he's a man in fellowship with God. And he knows that God delights to have mercy. And he knows that God has no delight in judgment and of punishment upon men. So he's driven to intercession. Driven to intercession. Pleading, you'll notice, with a burden and a concern for the life of sinful men and women in Sodom. Asking God to do so for the sake of any who might name his name in that place. No doubt having also in mind that his nephew Lot was living down there in the plain. This was a fruit of fellowship. This matter of intercession. This was the outcome of living with God. My friends, this is something that we need to look at. Here is a man who is concerned. Concerned about men and women who had no time for God. Concerned for those who were facing the judgment of God. And because this man had the mind of God, he was driven to intercession, prayer for them. I wonder whether the measure of our prayer is the measure of our fellowship with God. Whether we really care about people. Whether we really care about judgment that must fall upon sin. Whether we got any kind of burden for other people. To bring them into God's house, to hear God's word, to bring them to Christ, to know salvation. Or are we those foolish people that just say to ourselves, well, it's all right in the end, as somebody said to me the other day. After all, we're all Christians. And all faiths are the same, as on the radio this morning. Nonsense. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And this is the message we have to declare. And the word that we have to declare is that apart from this, men are lost and under the judgment of God. And this should drive us Christians to intercession. This understanding of the mind of God, this fellowship with God that lays bare God's heart and, as it were, communicates to us something of the heart of God and the love of God. Second line of fruitfulness in the plain of Mamre is the matter of Isaac's birth. And here we find Abraham enabled, as it were, with a living faith to lay hold of the promises that God has made. He lays hold of God because the fellowship that he's had with God has developed in his heart the gift of faith. And when we read about him in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we find that he came to the place not only of Abraham's birth miraculously, the fruit of faith that believed God in the end, but there came the place, that tremendous climax in his life, where he was able to take this child that God had given miraculously and put him upon an altar and go about with a knife to slay this son, believing that God would raise him from the dead to fulfill his own purposes. This is the kind of faith that Abraham had. This was the fruitfulness of walking with God, and there's no other way of achieving it. Not a question of screwing ourselves up and making more effort. Not a question of trying to make ourselves believe and make ourselves have faith. Walking with in fellowship with God will develop this faithfulness and this fruitfulness. Abraham dwelt in the plain of Mamre. And as we go on with the story, we come to the closing scene. And the closing scene is still in the plain of Mamre, where we find Abraham Sarah having already died, seeking a place for burial, and he buys a plot of land in the plains of Mamre, near Hebron, where first Sarah is laid to rest, and then later he himself is put to rest. And what would this talk about? This would tell us surely that the life of fellowship with God went on in fellowship beyond the grave with God. A man who has walked with God and lived with God goes on living with God after death. And that fellowship with God, which is eternal, is fruitful and still is being fruitful. The fragrance of Abraham's walk with God as the friend of God remains to this day. And as we talk about it this morning and think about it this morning, this life of Abraham, there's a fruitfulness because it's becoming to us a blessing, even as we look at it together, ponder its meaning, and learn its lessons. Life that has been laid down in the service of God will never cease to be fruitful. And Abraham, the friend of God, dwelt in the plain of Mamre, in the locality of Hebron. Well might we envy this man, his faith, his friendship with God, his depth of communion, the way in which he proved the promises of God. But to a lesser or larger extent, which is only in God's hands, if we place ourselves in the place of God's choice, there can be no end to the fellowship we know with him, and there will be no end to the fruitfulness that our lives will bear for him.